Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
We further unpack this story of Daniel. Remember, the story of Daniel being delivered from the lion's den and being kept in that moment, that's what gets the front page news and the headlines. But it is not what Daniel did in the lion's den that got him out of the lion's den. It's the preparation and the life Daniel lived leading up to it. And so I want to encourage somebody today that you're in between battles. What you do right now is going to determine your victory. What you do right now is going to determine how long the lion's den is. What you do right now is whether you're going to bleed in the lion's den or whether you're going to overcome in the lion's den. And so let's get to it. Daniel chapter 6, verse 16. So at last the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. And the king said unto him, may your God, how you and I respond to this lion's den, it is what is going to determine whether our God becomes their God. He said, may your God whom you serve so faithfully, somebody say faithfully, may he rescue you. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm coming out of the lion's den. Tell him, I did not come here to stay here. Tell him, I am just passing through. Like Kawhi Leonard in Toronto, I won't be here long. I'm just passing through. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. It's amazing when you read the story that two of the greatest Old Testament accounts literally happened within weeks or months of one another. That the account of Daniel in the lion's den and the three Hebrew young men in the fiery furnace all happen and coincide in the same dispensation, the same culture, in the face of adversity and bondage and all of the things that they were going through. And when you see that there's a culture that wants to not only kill your worship, but literally wants to kill you, it changes the way you live. Let me say this. When you find out the devil really wants to kill you, it will change the way you live. And one of the worst things that can happen is for you to die at 60 and be buried at 85. And there's a lot of us that we might be 20 numerically, 25, 35, but we're not living. We might as well already be in the grave. But I want to encourage you, not only do we want you to live through whatever you're facing, we want you to thrive, praise God. We want you to be able to say in the face of the worst circumstances of your life, I've got a God who is faithful. Who is faithful before this, who will be faithful in the middle of it, and who will be faithful at the end of the process. So in this preparation period, God gives Daniel and the three Hebrew boys three things. He gives them understanding, wisdom, and discernment. You can catch all of this and catch up in the podcast, wherever you download your podcast. Last couple sessions, we've been talking about if you wait for the lion's den to prepare, church, you will be devoured. In times of war, it's not the time to start training. In times of battle, it's not the time to start learning to use your weapons. 3 years of preparation for Daniel led to 8 hours in the lion's den. Can I encourage you that a lot of times your preparation is going to take a longer dispensation of time than the actual trial is, but I'm going to tell you there are no wasted moments for believers. Every day I'm either celebrating a victory or I'm getting ready for a fight. But I understand that God has not called me to the kingdom to show up to the church a couple times a week and to sing a couple songs and go home. That God has called me and you to the kingdom for such a time as this. There are giants that need to be defeated. There are lions that need to be tamed. And there are fiery furnaces that need to be outlived. And you and I are just the ones to do it. 3 years of preparation for 8 hours in the lion's den. There are three types of people: those that try, those that give it their best shot, and those that do whatever it takes. You and I, on a Wednesday night, I believe, are those that do whatever it takes. We are not taste testing the kingdom of God or the things of God. We are literally doing all that we can, praise God, to make sure that no matter what happens in our life, our focus on Jesus will never be broken. Daniel was prepared, and this is a story more of preparation before the lion's den than what happened in the lion's den. Remember this, church, that our preparation affects our production. If you are not producing now, it's because you didn't prepare then. Every time you eat a piece of fruit, somebody had to plant a seed so that you and I can eat a piece of fruit. Realize that the production you are eating and enjoying now is because you or someone took a lot of time and effort to prepare. I know a lot of us just show up on a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, but this worship team was here on Monday night rehearsing. There was ushers that showed up at 6:15. There was people that showed up at 4:30, 5 o'clock to make sure the lights were on and make sure the sound was good. All of that so that in the next, from 7 to 8:30, when the Shekinah glory of God settles in this house, that you and I receive. Just because you didn't do anything in this moment to receive it didn't mean that somebody didn't fight so that you could have it. And I don't believe that Daniel outlived the lion so that we could complain about all of the trials that we are going through today, but he did it as a witness and a testimony. Last session we talked in Daniel chapter 6 verse 1 through 3 that God promotes, and why God promotes, Daniel proves, and why Daniel proves, the king plans. I love that as God is promoting Daniel, he promotes the prepared. And 2 weeks ago, I gave the lyrics of the song, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary. That old song 40 years ago was sung, and it's been in my spirit and in my mind, and God recently brought it back. And almost without fail, these last 2 weeks, I will spend at least 10 or 15 minutes a day singing that song as a prayer that, God, I want to be prepared. Pastor, what are you preparing for? I don't know what I'm preparing for. I just know that I can be prepared at a level that doesn't matter what comes my way. I'm ready to handle it. So God promotes us. Daniel proves God. We're in the proving season. We are proving God. See, after you prepared and you get in the lion's den, now it's time to prove that your God does not fail, that your God does not lie, that your God is not like the other gods, little g, that what he said he will perform. So Daniel proved him, and then the king had plans, and the king's plan was, I'm going to elevate and I'm going to lift Daniel up to be the highest governing official in the entire land. Remember this, Daniel was taken captive as a slave, and God took him through a process of 8 years of prep, 3 years of preparation, and he went from a slave to president. I don't know what it looks like today. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what kind of bondage you are fighting today. But in short order, if you will give your life to Jesus and you will take the necessary time to prepare, in the next few moments, in the next few weeks, God can take you from a nobody and make you a somebody. God can take you from nowhere and put you right where he has called you to be. Joseph's promise got him thrown into the pit in prison. Daniel's destiny got him thrown into a den of lions, and the three Hebrews boys' future got them thrown into the furnace. A lot of times what you're going through is not a result of what you've done, but what you're going through and how you're being attacked is the devil slipping up and showing his hand on where God is taking you. Remember this, that the devil has heard conversations from God that you have not heard. And so he's not attacking you because of what you've done. A lot of times he's attacking you because of what God has promised to do. Remember this, that every day the devil goes to heaven and accuses the brethren, accuses the men and women of God. And while he is in heaven, he has heard conversation about what God has planned for your August of 2024, what God has planned for your children, what God has planned for your purpose in ministry. And so all of this hell that he has brought against you in 2024, don't fret and don't doubt, but let that be a lesson and let that be a testimony that, oh my God, if God promotes me at the level I'm being attacked at, I cannot wait to get in this lion's den and prove my God and prove his plan for my life. Daniel chapter 6 verse 4, we left off here last session. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way that Daniel was handling the government affairs, but they could not find anything to criticize or condemn. Church of God, men and women of God in the room tonight, let us strive to live a life where even the sinners and the unbelievers cannot find fault with us. Let us live lives of character and integrity. Let us live lives that are above reproach. Let us not put ourselves in positions where the truth could be deciphered a different way or perception could be passed over on us. Let us exemplify godly marriages and godly relationships. Let us show them how we react in times of turmoil. They could not find anything on Daniel. Then the Bible tells us why. Because he was three things. He was faithful. Somebody say faithful. He was responsible. Somebody say responsible. And he was completely trustworthy. Somebody say trustworthy. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. While God is planning the purpose and promotion, the enemy is designing your downfall and destruction. Your faithfulness, faithlessness, your focus, or your unfocused eyes will determine which of those futures becomes a reality. God is fighting for your future, but so is the devil. And whoever you and I focus on, that is the reality that becomes true in our lives. And so I want to encourage you, I want you to leave here today more focused on Jesus than you have ever been. Tonight there are 20,000 people in Milwaukee who have put their faith in a man. Next month there will be 20,000 people in another city who have put their faith in a man. But I have come to tell you, my faith is not in a man. My faith is not in a political structure. My faith is not in the government. My faith is not in my wife. My faith is not of my parents. My faith is not of myself. My faith is in the one true and living God. His name is Jesus. And because my faith is in him, nothing else can affect me. The resume of the one who went through the lion's den is given to us in those three distinct things. Number one, Daniel was faithful. He was full of faith. Listen to this. We love to talk about the faithfulness of Daniel in the lion's den. The faithfulness of Daniel in the lion's den is not what kept him alive. It is the faith that brought him to the lion's den. It is the faith that caused these false accusations to be hurled at him. Has anybody ever lied on you or gossiped about you or defamed you? It is those lies sometimes that gets us in the places that we're in. But can I tell you to be faithful in the face of defamation? Can I tell you to be so faithful on what God has said about you that nothing else about what they say about you matters? Because if you are going to do great things for God, people are going to talk and make up stuff about you. And if they can't find a truth that is about you, that paints you in a bad light, they will just make things up. They'll just create things. They'll talk about your family and your marriage and your kids and how you got your money and what you do with your money and what you were doing last Friday. And none of that is true. Don't get distracted. Why? Because distractions will kill you in the lion's den. We need people who are focused in their faith. Second thing he said is he said that Daniel was always responsible. Not sometimes. Always responsible. Not when it was convenient. Always responsible. Not when his flesh felt like the spirit was leading and God. He was always responsible. I think to always be responsible, you have to put yourself in positions where you are set up to succeed and not fail. See, a lot of us keep going to failing situations, and then when we fail, we're surprised we fail. Sometimes the people that you're dating, it doesn't matter how good you are, you're hooked up with the wrong person. You are with irresponsible people. And so it's hard for you to be responsible when you are with irresponsible people. It is hard for you to be faithful when you are surrounded with faithless people. It is hard for you to be spiritual when you continually surround yourself with carnality. So I want to encourage you today, like Daniel, let's walk in that responsibility. Responsibility, when you break down this word, responsibility means this: able to carry that which is expected of you. Not my expectation for you, God's expectation for you. You realize that God has an expectation for every believer that is supposed to govern the way we live our life and the decisions that we make. And so that is why at the end of my day, I don't have to worry about is Living Way proud of my decisions. All I have to be concerned about is God proud of the decisions I made today. And if God is proud of my decisions, nothing else matters. But here's the thing. If God is proud of your decisions, then everybody connected to you that is faith-filled and responsible as well, they're going to amen and encourage and understand why you did what you did when everybody was asking if you were crazy. Responsibility looks crazy to people that are irresponsible. You're talking to a young man. You're talking to a middle-aged man that when I was a young man, I got married when I was 21. Mandy was 17. Mandy got a lot more of this than I did because she was still in high school when we got married. She was a senior in high school when we got married. And so she had a lot of her friends that were asking her, hey, you want to go hang out this Friday night? And Mandy would say, I need to run that by Brandon and check. She doesn't need my permission to do what she wants to do. It's a respect thing. And it's a healthy marriage thing. As the man, I'm 42 years of age. I still call her. Hey, this is what's going on today. This is where I'm going to be at. I've had the 360 app on my phone since Jaden started driving. I never turn my location off. I'm going to have to leave my phone somewhere on purpose, which I will never do. It's always in my hand or in front of me. Mandy knows where I'm at, and I know where she's at. You know where she's been today? She's been at Marshall's. I was like, hey, did you have a happy shopping spree today, and did you buy me something? It dings when she leaves Living Way. It says, Mandy, this, and the first couple times, man, it hurt my heart because the way 360 app reads, it says, Mandy Fender has left Living Way. I was like, my God, Mandy's left the church. But when that thing dings, I'll text her, I'll be like, you on your way home? Or I'll call her, you on your way home? Quit following me, she says. I say, hey, you're driving right by that Burger King. Why don't you swing in there and give me some chicken fries? But let me get back to this original point. You know why all of her friends at 17 years of age used to call her out and be like, ooh, I can't believe you're letting some man tell you what to do? Because they're irresponsible. And she had to find out very quick, because I'm now in a covenant and I'm in a relationship that is healthy. They don't understand what a healthy relationship looks like. They don't understand what responsibility looks like. You never have to make excuses to people around you that don't understand what God is doing in you and what God has called you to. Remember this, God didn't ask them to co-sign what he's calling you to do. And if he didn't ask for their co-signature, then he doesn't care what they have to say to you, and neither should you. The expectation, able to carry that which is expected of you. Here's the thing though, church, do we ask God what the expectation of us is? I know in the general sense, we know the expectation. There's those four or five things that we know as believers we should not do and things we should do. But when was the last time that you said, God, what's your expectation for July 18th, 2024? That would be tomorrow. What's your expectation? I'm going to go work 8 hours at the job. I've got this plan, but what do you expect? Because if I would have woke up and really been in tune with what God was saying on Monday, I would have known that Ivan was going to show up here at 5:30 that night. What if instead of waking up on Monday saying, God, order my steps and bless me, I say, God, what's on the agenda? And God said, hey, today at 5:30, a young man named Ivan's going to come to church and he's going to be baptized. Why don't you just go ahead and make a post on Facebook and let's see if we can get another 10 or 12 people up there to be baptized on Monday. But I didn't ask his expectation for that day. See, a lot of times we ask him expectation for life, but not for day to day. What's his expectation? The responsibility to carry, able to carry that which is expected of you. Then I love this definition for responsibility, and I'm big on this one. To operate under accountability. Everybody wants to be accountable until they're held accountable. Because once you have invited a mature man or woman to hold you accountable, what you have said is I'm going to operate in full transparency, and you now have permission to check me when I'm wrong. You now have permission to say things that are going to ruffle my feathers, but are going to bring me life on the back end of my obedience to what you're saying. But I've known this. More people in my life that had asked for accountability, more than not, the first moment I hold them accountable, they get mad, they get frustrated. They even say things like, don't judge me, and I feel like you're coming at me. You gave me permission to come at you. And I'm not coming at you with my thoughts. I'm coming at you with the word of God, and I'm coming at you with a 42-year-old perspective of somebody that's been walking this walk for 24 years. You've been walking it for 6 months and you were struggling, which is why you asked for accountability. And so don't get mad when I hold you accountable. Why? Because I'm not trying to make you feel good. I'm trying to keep you alive in the middle of the lion's den that is for sure going to show up in your life. I don't want you to feel good. I'm trying to keep you alive. So they leave this church to go to another church. They leave this house to go to a house where they just become a nose and a number. No one knows them by name. No one calls to check up on them. No one holds them accountable. But Daniel said, I am a man of accountability. I am accountable to the voice of God. I am accountable to the people of God. I am accountable to the purpose of God, the expectation on my life. The third thing he says, he was faithful. He was always responsible. Third, I love this. He was completely trustworthy. He was completely trustworthy. How many of you have given out 10 or 12 keys to your front door? Man, I take my kids' keys back when they move out. No, I don't. I'm just kidding. But I can't change the code on that gate where they can't get in. They have to walk in. There's a whole lot of people that we love, that we enjoy spending time with there, but we don't want them having access here because we really don't trust them. I'll go eat with you at the restaurant, but you ain't coming into my house. I'll go to the Spurs game with you, but you ain't coming on vacation with me. Why? Because I don't trust you like that. When we say that Daniel was trustworthy, he was deserving of confidence. And here's the thing, church, I love about Daniel. It's not deserving of the confidence of man, which shows up. It is the deserving of the confidence of God. I hope that as a pastor that you are confident that I hear from God, that I am led of the Spirit. I hope that. But at the end of the day, I just need to let you know God is confident in me. If he was not confident in me, he would have never allowed me to hold this microphone. If he was not confident in me, I would not be able to stay married, keep a marriage together, raise a family, lead a church, live in a community like this. I'm encouraging you today in this place. I know you are wanting people to notice you, but I am talking to people tonight. It's not for people to notice you. It is for God to notice you, and not just notice you, but from heaven say, I've got confidence in that man or that woman that what I tell them to do and what I've created them to do, that they will do it in Jesus' name. This completely trustworthy also means dependable. Are you dependable? Can God count on you? You say, oh yeah, God can count on me. Can he? And I know it's a Wednesday night, but it's hard for some of us to get here two Wednesdays in a row. It's hard for some of us to give regularly, to serve regularly. One of the leaders was telling me this week, said, I sent out invites for my ministry. and somebody contacted me and said, I can't serve that day, and we're talking about days away, I can't serve that day because I'm sick. How are you going to tell us you're going to be sick 5 days from now? Either you're lying or you need some faith. God can do. God raised the dead in three. He can heal you from your cold in five. Dependable. Are you dependable? Bishop and I talk about a lot of things when we get together. We talk a lot about sports. We talk a lot about the state of our world and country. But we talk a lot about ministry. And we have a lot of great things to say about Living Way because you are the greatest people on the face of the earth. But we know a lot of pastors who are not very dependable. We know pastors that take 5 or 6 vacations a year. They're just gone all the time. And one of them asked Bishop one time, they said, you think I'll ever be able to have 1,000 people at my church? And Dad said the first few times that he had asked him that, he told that pastor, if you do this, this, and this, I believe you can. Finally, he said, you think I can have 1,000 people at my church? And Bishop finally said, not a chance. You're gone all the time. Your people cannot depend on you. And see, what kind of pastor would I be if I preached dependability to you and then I'm gone every other week? Mandy and I take one vacation a year, and that's because of Mandy, not me. I would rearrange my schedule to be here, but I promised her 1 week, Monday to Monday, 1 week a year, we will go somewhere, we will do something. I love being here. I love being in the presence of God, but I never want to preach something that I'm not. So when we talk about Daniel's trustworthiness, Daniel said this. He said, God, you can depend on me over here. But he said, God, should I be led to the lion's den, you can depend on me there just as much. We're not looking for people that can serve God when everything's perfect. We're looking for people that you might be passing an offering plate as an usher with tears in your eyes. You might have just come through the most hellacious week of your life and you're still holding a microphone leading worship. The trustworthiness and the dependability of Daniel also leads to the reliability. Can God rely on us like he relied on Daniel? They couldn't find any fault with Daniel, so they went after his worship. They said he's perfect. We looked at every way he's governed, every way, every decision he's made, every law that he has passed. He is so perfect in everything he does because of his faithfulness, because of his trustworthiness. He is always responsible. So they said, we know how to get him. Let's go after his worship. Have you noticed the world and culture never has an issue with people that worship and what they love until Jesus is the focus of that worship and love? It's not a problem that you're religious, but when you say the name of Jesus, they have a problem with it. Daniel was so focused on Jehovah that they said, let's go after what he worships. Daniel chapter 6, verse 6, so the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, long live King Darius. We are all in agreement, we administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law so that it cannot be changed. An official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius signed the law. The leaders of that day make the same mistake that our governmental leaders today make. They think they can mandate and legislate worship, love, and morality, and they cannot. I don't care what laws are passed in Washington, you will never shut me up about Jesus. I don't care what laws are passed in San Antonio. We will never shut the doors of Living Way Church again. COVID, no COVID, doesn't matter what's going on. They will have to drag me out of this building and drag me straight to jail. And when they drag me straight to jail, there'll be another person that grabs this microphone and starts preaching and starts singing. And if they take them down, another one will be in their place. Why? Because you cannot tell me what to do with my God. You cannot tell me how to worship my God. You're not going to be the one that gets me out of the lion's den, so you're not going to change how I live. Let me go just a little further. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. But when Daniel found out about the law that had been signed, listen to what he did. He went home. He knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its window open towards Jerusalem. He prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. So the question that begs to be asked right now is, Daniel is threatened with the death penalty if he continues to pray, continues to worship, continues to look to God. What did Daniel do? He went home and he prayed. He went home and he prepared. Daniel was prepared, but he went home and said, I'm gonna keep doing what I've always done. Not only did he go home to pray, he didn't hide in the house. He went up to the upstairs, to the upper room. He knelt down in front of an open window and began to pray. He didn't go private with his faith. He went public with his faith. I'm talking to a group of people that I know you love Jesus if you're here on a Wednesday night. It's time to go public with our faith in an even greater way. It's time for the world to know exactly who our Jesus is. It's time for everybody at your job to know that you are a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christian. It's time that you don't dumb it down and water it down around your heathen family members. It's time that everybody knows just what type of believer you are. It's time that you walk away from conversations that mock God. It's time that you speak up when inappropriate things are being said or done. It is time for the Daniels to rise up and say, you cannot scare me or bully me into silence. He went home and prayed, and he went home and made it public. And I love what the verse says. And Daniel did what he always had done. Stand on your feet. When faced with adversity, church, that is not the time to change your strategy. When faced with the craziness that life will throw at you, it's not that time to change what brought you to the dance. My dad has told me there's 2 things that derail a lot of people, and this is usually talking about business, sometimes about ministry. Number one, they stay at the dance too long. They don't know when to stop. So they continue on and go past that great exit. But chances are the second reason is the more predominant reason. They switch up dance partners and they quit dancing with the one that brought them. I've had a lot of things come my way, church. I've had a lot of opportunities peek their head. Had a lot of things that could steal my focus and my attention off of Jesus. But when I look over my life in the last 42 years, I say, I think I'm gonna stick with the one that has brought me this far. I think I'm gonna keep worshiping the one who has never let me down. I think I'm gonna keep going. Well, Pastor, don't you think there's some lion's den? Oh, there's some lion's den, but he's already gotten me out of a couple in my past, and this is gonna be the third one. And I've been through some fiery furnace, and I've been through some valleys and some storms. You know what I love about Daniel? Daniel said, you threaten to kill me, I'm gonna go home and do what I've been doing the last 3 years. I'm gonna pray, I'm gonna worship, and if that's the thing that gets me thrown into the pit, then that's going to be the thing that gets me out of the pit. I want to encourage the believer today. Don't stop following Jesus. Don't stop loving Jesus. Don't stop serving Jesus. It brought you this far. It's going to take you the rest of the way. Brought you this far. It's going to take you the rest of the way. I love sharing this story in the Word of God, and I end with this. I just preached about this a few months ago. Jesus is sharing a sermon with his followers. These are the 12 followers that we know, but there are many more followers that are unnamed. The Bible says that it was such a hard saying that many of his followers turned and didn't follow him anymore in their life. Jesus turns to the 12 that stayed and he said, "Will you leave me too?" And of course, if you know the story, it's always Peter speaking up. Peter says, "Where would we go?" Said, what direction would we leave? What options are better than you? And then he says this, "For you hold the keys," the words, "to eternity," to eternal life. So I want some Peters in the room today that maybe you've been talking about throwing in the towel, maybe quitting. "Well, Pastor, I just think I'm going to step down from my ministry, and I've got this going on, and I'm too busy, and my family," all of those things. You realize if you serve at every service in Living Way and show up to every event, that's about 10 hours a week. You got 158 to do whatever you want to do. You have time for whatever you want to do in your life. And I'm talking to Daniels today. Don't step out now, because you're going to end up in a lion's den and you're going to be glad that you stuck with it. And the God that brought you this far is going to take you the rest of the way. Where would I go? I want to open the altar right now for those of you that are in this building that you've been contemplating, maybe stopping, maybe slowing down, maybe taking a step back. You've been looking at the situation saying things have to change, and I think if I just stop, that's going to change the situation. I want to encourage you today. You stopping on God, you stepping out on God is not going to solve anything. It is actually going to make it worse. But like Daniel, in the face of adversity, in the face of a death threat, in the face of a death penalty, in the face of laws changing. You know, in Canada, they are now putting people in jail for preaching the Word of God as it applies to homosexuality. Literally taking people out of their churches and putting them in jail because they're preaching the Word of God. You think that ever happened in this country? I hope it doesn't, but if it does, I'm gonna have the biggest prison ministry in San Antonio. Y'all will come visit me. Y'all will be bringing sinners to visit me so I can preach to them from the other side of the bars. I just know this, that God and his future not only for you, but for culture, for city, for region, for our nation, it hinges on the Daniels saying, "I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to lay down. I'm not going to soften my stance. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. I'm going to do it in love, but I'm going to preach the truth, and I'm going to live," praise God. As those have gathered in this altar, young people, new faces, leaders, praise God, are in this altar. People that I know well, people that I've seen come to God in the last few months, people that are at a fork in the road, people that are getting ready to make big decisions, people that are facing big giants. I want to tell you, God sees you, God hears you. But those of you in this altar, you are Daniels. Daniels in the making. I'm going to ask our pastoral team to go ahead and start anointing and praying for each and every one of these men and women that have joined us in this altar. I'm going to ask that our prayer team and our prayer partners would go ahead and leave your seat and come up and stand behind these men and women. Let them hear your prayer. And after we lay our hands and anoint them, I'd love for you to step around in front of them, get in their ears so they can hear another Daniel praying, another Daniel preaching, another Daniel encouraging. If you're in this room tonight and you don't know Jesus, this is your moment. Just like Ivan did 48 hours ago, this is your moment to say yes to Jesus. This is your moment to say, I cannot get it done on my own, and I need a change in my life. If that's you, this altar's open. If that's you and you're watching from home tonight or from your job tonight, right where you are, throw your hands up and ask God to save you. Repent of your sins. Claim him as the Son of God, the only way to heaven. Salvation is going to come right to you. If you're in this house and that's you, join us in the altar. If you're ready to be baptized in water, join us in the altar right now. Let our prayer team know I'm here to be baptized. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, join us in this altar.